This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a mindful Ramadan. It's such a pleasure to have you here. We made it, mashallah. We are at the final stretch just today and tomorrow, inshallah. And how exciting. Now, what I want to know, first of all, if you're joining in live, put hashtag live. If you're watching a replay, put hashtag replay. Very small request, but it does us a lot of good. So put that in there now. And I want to do a little bit of an informal survey, okay? How many of you feel that this Ramadan was better than the last Ramadans, okay? So either if it was better or it was the same or it was worse. So if you can put that in the comment section, thank you. Thank you for all. Jazakallah khair for your comment on the pink hijab. Let's see. Let's take an informal survey and find out, is it better? Is this was this Ramadan better? Was it the same or was it kind of worse? You know, and I'm getting mixed reactions from people. Some people are thinking that it was different. Okay, some are saying different. That was not an option. First, please tell me if you can see me, hear me. We're all good. Give me a thumbs up. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me and see me. And then we can. Okay, so many of you, Sister Abir, are saying better. Alhamdulillah, this Ramadan is better than last year. A good or better, mashallah. Someone is saying it was different. Okay, best ever, Sister Sabina. Virtual high five. Good. Well, I feel that it was really an exceptional Ramadan. I think, first of all, because of the contrast with last year. Last year, everything was locked down. No masajid, no qiyam, no taraweeh, nothing. And so in contrast, you know, to the deprivation we experienced last year, everything is exponentially better. And this is maybe part of the wisdom. We were taking so much for granted. We were maybe going in this kind of autopilot Ramadan mode, right? We're just basically iftars and, you know, hopping masjids and hopping, you know, from one fundraiser to the next. And we weren't maybe as mindful. And that's why this mindful Ramadan 2021 was really, really insightful. I mean, I really experienced it. Jazakallah khairan for your sweet comments. Slightly better, but everything is closed here. Oh, no open mosque. So those of you who are still in the lockdown, I understand. It's tough. It's tough. But subhanAllah, there's hikmah in that too. Last year, when we were in the lockdown, just the fact that we were praying together as a family, because, you know, once kids are teenagers, they just, you know, they take off to their favorite mosque, the favorite qari, favorite, like where their friends are. And it was nice to just have everyone gathered in the same place and not be in such a rush. So, Jazakallah khairan. I'm going to wear more pink. All right. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Mindful Ramadan. Bismillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulullah. So, you've all have been exerting yourself, whether it was with the prayer, with the, with all the ibadah, reading the Quran, going to the masjid, or, you know, praying at home, whatever, or making more dua. And the big question is, you know, is my Ramadan accepted? And how do I know? How do I know it's accepted? I want to start off with giving you an analogy about how our faith is like constructing a building, okay? And if you get this analogy with me, I think it'll really change your view about yourself, about where you are, and looking forward to what's ahead. Because a lot of times, people have a tendency to be very critical of themselves, right? There is harshness. There is, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't do enough and I could have been better. And in this process, it might be comparing and you feel defeated at the end. And that's not the objective. That's not the objective. Definitely not the objective of Mindful Ramadan, because I always want to instill optimism. I want to instill that faith, that feeling of I can move forward, okay? So if we take our iman, right? All right. If we can take our iman as constructing a building, what is the first thing you need when you're constructing a building? What is the most important thing? It is creating a foundation, right? We need a foundation, which is our belief in Allah, right? Our aqidah, our belief in predestination. These beliefs are so critical, right? And if the foundation of a home, let's think of like sometimes homes that are made in a third world country, and maybe they don't put as much emphasis. Maybe they're not, they don't have the same kind of guidelines or standards that need to be met. And the foundation is a bit flimsy. Right? What happens? Even if they construct a building on it, it falls apart, right? But if the foundation is strong, if you put a nice, strong foundation, then you can build on it. And that is what we need to make sure that step number one is having that strong foundation. Now, sometimes in this process of building a foundation, you may have doubts. You may have information that you're not certain about. And it's so critical to make sure that you do have sound advice. If any time you have any kind of doubt, you need to get that addressed, because if these doubts go unchecked, what ends up happening is that the foundation becomes very flimsy. And little by little, even the most knowledgeable people, if their beliefs are poked enough, if they poke it, maybe from an intellectual aspect, maybe it's from, just instilling doubts and questions. And if those are not addressed, then even some of the strongest building, it can falter and it can fall. And that is scary. And we need to make sure that if you come across any kind of doubt, any kind of question in your mind, there's no shame in asking. There's no shame in not knowing. The key, there's a shame in not asking and finding out the answers and getting to the truth, right? So that's something I encourage everybody. We need to first ensure that we have a strong foundation and ask people of knowledge, ask those individuals to answer your questions if you have any form of doubts, okay? Jazakallah khair. You like the analogy of the iman with being a building a foundation. I really like this as well, because I was thinking, what analogy would capture this the best? And I felt that this really does it, because then comes the construction of the building. Okay. Now, each piece of knowledge that you're acquired is like a brick in the building. Okay. So as you gain knowledge, you go to a khutbah, you gain your piece of knowledge. Like I remember for years, like for 20 years, just, attending every lecture, writing down the notes, acquiring, going to intensive classes, listening to lectures. I remember a 3-hour commute when I was doing my master's program from Houston to Clear Lake. So it was an hour and a half going, hour and a half coming back. And so I filled it. At that time we had tapes, and I bought every tape I could on, acquiring the Islamic knowledge. And there wasn't the internet back then. So it was really about getting these bits and pieces of information. And as I listened to it, it was building the bricks of this building, of the building of the iman, alhamdulillah. So ensure the quality of the bricks, right? Make sure that it's solid. Make sure you are careful and cautious about where you're seeking that knowledge from. I had this lady, alhamdulillah, in Ramadan, she embraced Islam, mashallah, tabarakallah. Some of her, her coworkers, her employers were actually very good practicing Muslims. And she was impressed by this. She was so impressed. She saw that they stand, they're young men, they're standing for prayer. They are worshiping Allah 5 times a day. They are staying away from so many haram things. They are, they are fasting during Ramadan. She started fasting with them. She started fasting and she was just so impressed. She goes, I feel amazing. But she said she wanted to speak to a female. So, alhamdulillah, someone referred to her and gave me her number, and I spoke with her. And what she said, alhamdulillah, she goes, all of this makes so much sense to me. And she had all the beliefs, and mashallah, within, you know, just a few minutes of conversation, the other people had already done the hard work, right? It was a low hanging fruit that I was gifted with, alhamdulillah. She took her shahada. This was just like the first few days of Ramadan. But I told her, when you're seeking the knowledge, you know, you can't just do a random Google search, because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of organizations who are just trying to, you know, destroy your view of Islam. So you have to go to trusted sources, and you have to make sure that the information you're acquiring is the truth and it is correct. And so I gave her some, you know, just very trustworthy sources. And I said, you know, seek your knowledge from trustworthy sources. And that's what, how we ensure the quality of the bricks. Okay. Now, each person is at a different level of iman, right? Different level of iman, and it's symbolized by a different floor, right? So you have some people, okay, who are on the first floor. They just got started. Maybe like this, you know, this young lady who took her shahada. She is on, you know, she's actually building her foundation, right? And then there's those individuals, it's their first floor. They're so excited to get their building set up, okay? While others may be on the eighth floor, okay? And some are finishing their penthouse, right? They are just like, this is the finishing touches. And you have to realize that it's not a competition. Okay, it is not a competition. This person who just embraced her, you know, embraced Islam, she's actually more pure than we are, because she's like, everything is wiped clean, but she is at the foundation level, right? And she is where she needs to be right now. Now, another person who is working and, you know, doing the finishing touches on their penthouse, right, doesn't mean that they are finished. Like, once the building is done, then, you know, that's it. I can just chill. I can relax. And that's it. No, a building, if you know that in order to maintain a building, it has to have maintenance, regular cleaning, rather, you know, checking it all the time, so that you're constantly vigilant of any scratches, anything breaking, anything that is falling apart. You got to address it immediately, because if not, what happens? You know, there might be, if there are electrical problems, there might be a fire. La samahallah, if there's, you know, there's a weakness in the foundation, there may be issues. So even if you're at that last stage, you have to maintain regularly. And when you realize that it's not a competition, you don't compare your first floor to that person who is, like, you know, on the last floor. Because if you do, you start feeling defeated, right? There are some people who take on Ramadan. I mean, it is, they are really regimented, right? Mashallah, they're very, very regimented. And if you, as, let's say, a new Muslim or someone who's building that first floor of iman, is, you know, comparing yourself and think, I'm terrible. My God, where's my iman? I don't have enough faith. And what's wrong with me? But that's not the objective. That's not the objective. And even if we look at it from a psychological perspective, you have to constantly reinforce the positive behavior. You have to see what you're doing, recognize it, and reinforce it by validating yourself, right? A lot of times, we are seeking external validation. And this is where many people get sucked in. They get sucked into this this need to be validated. And you see that in social media, whether it's, you know, number of followers, whether it's the number of likes, whether it's, you know, in so many different ways, people are like dying for validation. Sometimes people get involved with haram relationships because, you know, they will tell me, well, he was validating me. He was giving me compliments that my husband wasn't giving me. And, you know, the man will tell me, well, she was really making me feel respected. And she was giving me this sense of, like, you know, I was feeling very accomplished. This is how dangerous that external validation, when we put so much, we bank on that external validation, it can take away our iman, it can take away our reward, it can take away our marriages, it can break everything down. So it's natural to want some level of external validation. We all need it, right? All of us need from time to time to be told, hey, you know, you're doing a great job. Mashallah, I appreciate you. We need that, right? We're human beings. We're social beings. We love that appreciation, right? But if you are, you know, living for it, that's where it becomes dangerous. What we need to do, we need to focus on what? Internal validation. Internal validation, that is when we recognize what we're doing is right and we give ourselves that boost. You know what? It's like, alhamdulillah, I feel good about what I'm doing. This is not about being boastful. So it's not about being full of pride or arrogant. It's none of that. Okay. And, you know, on my mentorship program, Mindful Hearts Academy, I really distinguish between self-esteem and then being arrogant, because a lot of times people have a hard time. We were just a hard time distinguishing the two. Many times people think that in order to be a humble servant, that means you should have no sense of self. You should like beat yourself up. You don't think you're good at anything. And that's not actually the tradition. If you look at Yusuf alayhi salam, he knew his worth. He knew that he is capable. He knows how to do that. He asked to be placed in a position of power because he had the skills. He knew that he could interpret dreams, for instance, right? So if he was like, I am no good, what am I? Well, I have nothing to offer, you know, if someone has that mentality, they will never be able to contribute, right? So it is very critical to build our self-esteem in a way that is in sync with our Islamic ideology. And that's why self-development in an Islamic framework is so critical, right? Because many times if you do it with the Western mentality, it's all about, you know, you're just manifesting, you're doing your own destiny, and it's all there. There's a lot of concepts that may not go completely in sync. And so having that humility along with the sense of, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah gave me whatever gift it is, and I'm grateful for it. But I'm at the same time humble, right? Now, this goes about like having that internal validation where you feel good about what it is that you're doing and you reinforce yourself with that. And when you do that consistently, instead of beating yourself up, I mean, look at the difference. You know, let's say right now you didn't achieve your goals, right? Many of you started off, okay, when someone is saying it is critical to build our self-esteem that is in sync with our Islamic ideology. Yes, it is very, very critical for us to do that. So let's say you started off and you said, many people feel like, okay, I want to finish the Quran. I want to, you know, during Ramadan, my goal is to finish the Quran. Now, many of you have done it. Many of you, mashallah, may have done it multiple times, right? Some are going, what? Multiple times? I can barely get through this many chapters. You're at a different stage of your iman, different level of iman, different floors, remember? And it's not about comparing. It's not about feeling bad about yourself, right? So let's say the person who had set out to finish the Quran and they didn't. And right now they're just like, you know, feeling very defeated. And if they, you know, continuously say things like, you know, what is this and why I'm such a bad person? I have such poor iman. I didn't get to finish. How is that going to propel them to take more action? It's not, right? It's not going to do it. But if you say, you know what, alhamdulillah, I may not have finished the entire Quran, but the fact that I did more than I did before Ramadan, then that is an indication to me that I'm in the right direction. And follow with me with this analogy. I've given it a lot of thought. And then I'm going to list how you know that your Ramadan is accepted. So we're getting to that, inshallah. And so when you are aware of this, that you're not beating yourself up, you're giving yourself internal validation for what you have done, that starts building your self-esteem, a feeling of accomplishment. And it's not about being boastful, but it's about feeling I'm capable. I'm capable of doing this. And success is going to that next level. Okay, that is the definition of success, building the next floor of your iman. Okay, so just the fact that you made progress in your building, Okay, it's not about completing the building. Maybe some of you thought it's all about completing reading the Quran, right? And you know, there are some people who like to take it slower. They may, you know, maybe Arabic is not their mother tongue, and so they have to read it with translation. They have to read the tafsir, and they only did a portion of it. Well, that is great, right? Recognize that as being great. Just the fact that you were doing more than you did actually before Ramadan, that is excellent. And many people, you know, expected to complete the building. And if they are not on the sixth floor, they give up. And what's the point, right? I expect it to be here. I'm not, so I'm a loser, right? So we need to redefine success and failure. And I do this for my clients all the time. And there's a whole lesson on, you know, success and failure on the mentorship program, which is say we have to have a new definition. So success usually is what? The ability to achieve your goal, right? So you want to become a doctor, you study, you pass the exams, you become a doctor, that's success, right? Failure is the inability to achieve your goals, right? So maybe someone didn't study, they failed the test, right? So what we need to do is redefine it. I'm going to give you a new definition, and having this new definition is going to empower you. And I remember giving this in one of the commencement speeches that I gave in one of the Islamic schools. And I said, I'm going to redefine success and failure, right? Success is the ability to learn, right? So if you learn, let's say you start a business, and even though it went bankrupt, you learn not to expand so quickly. You learn not to have a crooked partner. You learn to stick to, let's say, one product at a time, and not to do too many things at the same time. If you learn that, that's success. Failure is the inability to learn. Failure is, okay, you get it. If someone, fails at a business, they go bankrupt, but then they repeat the same mistakes. Let's say even if someone gets a divorce, but they learn how to choose the right spouse, they learn how to be a better person, then that is success, right? So I remember explaining this in this commencement address, and this man, he was in his 60s. He came up and he was very enthusiastic. He's like, oh my God, like, you know, this did something for me. I realize now why I have been miserable all my life, 60 years of misery. And I said, what is that? I was defining success and failure wrong. And it's like, now I know. Now I'm going to define it differently, and I'm going to feel successful all the time. So as long as you're learning. So in this process, if you learn, okay, I need to manage my time better. I need to, be partner up with someone who is more motivated. I need maybe lessons. I need to follow someone who, you know, can teach me or be an example. I need a role model. I need a sisterhood, you know, that we can all do this together. I know that those of you who've been part of a Mindful Ramadan, you've been expressing how, you know, this is so motivating. Every day you're learning. Mashallah, we've had amazing scholars and speakers sharing their views, giving inspiration. And this is what keeps a person going. Because if you're kind of doing it on your own, you're in isolation, you're not seeing people because maybe you're on a lockdown, you're not going to the masjid, and then you're not even a part of a group. And that's why it's so critical to be a part of like-minded individuals. You know, the GPS is set to Jannah, right? You set your GPS to Jannah, and it's about, okay, I want to go with people. I want sisterhood. I want, you know, the brotherhood that is going to take me to my destination. Because if your GPS is set to Jannah, but someone is like just constantly wants to take you in the opposite direction. Hey, forget that. Hey, let's go to this party. Let's do that. Let's do this. And then, so you're just going to be going in the opposite direction. So you need individuals who are going to push you. My daughter has been encouraging me, you know, to go for walks and runs right before iftar time, right? And so she's like, Mom, let's go. And it's been great. Mashallah, we go. And this one day I had spent a lot, you know, hours and hours just working, and I was exhausted. So she's like, let's go. And I said, Mom, I'm really, really tired. She's like, no, we need to go. So she's literally pushing me to go. And then when we were walking, I go, okay, we'll walk today. Okay. No, she's literally pushing me from behind. May Allah be pleased with her for pushing her mama to, you know, to exercise. And it was great because I'm used to motivating her. I'm used to motivating everyone. And she was literally behind me pushing me, and I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, okay, like I have to run. Right? So sometimes you need that. You need someone to be pushing you. You need someone to just like, to, you're getting tired, you're getting lazy, you're getting like, you know, distracted, and you need someone to say, hey, come on, remember our goal, remember where we're going. And that will make such a difference, right? So we talked about the redefining the success and failure. And when you do that, then you're going to be at ease. You're going to feel good about whatever it was that you learned during this Ramadan. And I want you to ask yourself, okay? Ask yourself, did you learn to have a closer relationship with Allah? Did you increase your worship? Did you stay away from sins? Did you read more Quran? Did you pray more? Did you, you know, make more du'as? And if you answer yes, then you have built that next floor in your house of iman. You built it. Okay. And you may not be at the penthouse, you may not be on the 8th or 10th floor, but you built the next floor of your house of iman. And you should be happy about that. You should be, you know, grateful, and you should be, you should feel the sense of accomplishment. Because as long as you're moving forward, right? As long as you're moving forward, you're headed in the right direction. And sometimes we just want to get there. We just like penthouse or bust, right? But we can. We got to take it one step at a time. We have to be patient with ourselves. We have to be patient with the process. Our heart is constantly changing. We have so many distractions. We have so many trials and tribulations that are happening to us. I mean, as an ummah, as, you know, as everything that is happening around the world. So it's difficult sometimes to stay on track. But the fact that you did that, you need to acknowledge it. Okay. Now, if you answered no to these questions, like, no, I don't really feel closer, I didn't do much more worship, I still fell into sin, I didn't really read the Quran, then don't beat yourself up. Make a commitment to just a little each and every day. Okay, to do a little bit more. All right, maybe your Ramadan didn't go the way you planned. Maybe you had your kids home. There was lockdown. There was, you know, illnesses. Maybe, you know, there's some, I saw a sister at Qiyam last night. And she said, I could tell there was sadness in her eyes. I'm like, are you okay? First time she just tried to play it off as, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, no, I see sadness. I read people for a living. So I sense sadness in your eyes. And she told me, yes, my mom has been in the hospital. So if you're at the hospital taking care of your, you know, sick mother, or you're worried about her, or, you know, you have kids who are going through certain challenges, or you have, you know, you've lost your job, and it's understandable. You're not going to be as focused, but recognize that you can now, right, make a commitment. Okay, I missed out on maybe this training camp. I missed out on this, but now I'm going to make a difference in the rest of the year. I'm going to actually make a commitment to one ayah a day. I'm going to, like, even if it doesn't have to be a lofty goal, I'm going to keep my connection to the Quran. I'm going to make sure I pray my 5 prayers. I have so many clients I have that they stop praying. They'll tell me, I used to pray consistently, but I've stopped. So just the fact that you make a commitment, I'm going to pray my prayers. I'm going to pray them on time. That in itself is an accomplishment. That in itself feels great. So when someone is saying, I've been sick almost all Ramadan, fasting and praying, but didn't pray Tarawih. And read so much as last year. That's understandable. You're sick. You have, you know, actually Allah is so merciful. And in the verse about about Ramadan is saying that, you know, if you are sick, if you're traveling, if you have an excuse, you have a legitimate excuse, then, you know, you're exempt. Maybe you can pay a kafara, you can make up for it. And he says, it was not meant, Allah does not want to make things hard for you. So there is such mercy. There's such mercy, subhanAllah. And yes, you set your GPS to Jannah and you focus on going there and make sure you have your partner's people pushing you, right? Literally pushing you so you don't slack off, all right? And so how do you know? Now getting to the topic that I'm sure you all were waiting for is how do you know your Ramadan is accepted, right? So when you take an exam, like the MCAT, GRE, LSAT, you can't wait to get the results, right? And sometimes you have to wait for weeks and months to get the results, right? In Ramadan, though, you get the results instantly. How is that? You get the results instantly. And Ibn Qayyim, okay, indicated that Imam Ibn Qayyim said, the acceptance of an act shows in its continuation. Okay. So you want to know if your all this ibadah, the du'as, the prayers, the reading of Quran, all that, your fasting has been accepted. See if it continues. Is there a continuation, right? Has your life changed? Even a little bit, right? Again, we're not trying to go from the first floor to the 10th floor. We're taking it one floor at a time. Are you on that next floor? Are you making improvement? Did you get a little bit better? Do you have a better character? You know, at one of the focus of Mindful Ramadan this year was character counts. We are taking our worship and making our character better. Because as I said at the beginning of this month, we have plenty of people who have knowledge. We have plenty of people with long beards and, you know, full on hijab. We have plenty of people who have degrees and certificates and, you know, it goes on and on and on. But what ends up happening is that you see that these very people make some really grave mistakes. These very people whose ibadah, their worship, is a long list of, you know, ibadah, long list of worship, and yet they will backbite, they will slander, they will ruin reputations, they will attack, they will, you know, they will go and in secret plot and plan, and they do all of these things. So did the worship make them a better person? If they didn't make a conscious effort to improve their character, and if it was just a list of things, I got my degree, I got my this, I did that, and they stop there, that's when a person can falter, even when they have knowledge, even when they have acquired so much. So we have to see if our focus this Ramadan was to have a better character, are you more patient? When dealing with your spouse, when you're dealing with your kids, when you're, you know, when you're just going about life, are you more patient? Are you less angry? Are you less judgmental? Are you, you know, have you stopped looking at people and thinking, you know, why aren't they doing this? And I'm so much better because I do this and they don't do this. And why? And we got to really shift gears. That mentality is very immature. It looks like a person who is spiritually just void and spiritually immature. If you constantly need to get that feeling of satisfaction from bringing down other people, really the most insecure people are the ones who have to bring other people down, right? There's a lot of a lot of stuff going on in that heart. It hasn't been purified. It hasn't, the internal work has not been done. And when someone has not done the internal work and they're insecure, then they will be very judgmental. So the most judgmental people are the most insecure people. The people who will bash others are the ones who feel so bad inside about themselves that the only way they can feel better is by taking someone else down. So be aware of that. Be aware of that the next time you find others bashing individuals, because that is an indication of low self-esteem, low spiritual awareness and enlightenment, right? Are you more loving? Are you showing more affection to the people around you, right? And what are your feelings about Ramadan? Another way to realize whether your Ramadan has been accepted or not, are you sad when it comes and glad when it's over? Okay. Some people are like that. Some people are a little bit puzzled about the excitement, the countdown, all of that, right? Now, if you're sad when it comes and you're kind of glad, oh, I can't wait to go back to my regular schedule, right? Then we need to work on that foundation. No need to beat yourself up. Just recognize you're still at foundation level. And somehow the foundation is missing certain, you know, elements, and you need to work on that, right? Now, are you happy when Ramadan comes and sad when it's over, right? And I know when during the Qiyam and during one of the last du'as, right? It was just heartbreaking, because recognizing that this Ramadan is coming to an end. And I had another feeling, and it was really probably one of the first times that I had it in such a profound way, because we did lose 5 family members within a few months. It was this feeling like, what if this is my absolute last Ramadan? Now, I know we say that all the time, but it's different when you truly feel it and you really feel, oh my God, what if it's the last time I get to do qunut? What if it's the last sujood I do? Right? And if you are happy about it coming and sad that it's ending, that is a sign of your Ramadan being accepted. Another sign of how your Ramadan is being accepted is, how do you celebrate Eid? Okay, how do you celebrate Eid? Now, for some, Eid is like, woohoo, like, you know, you're just like, all right, let's get back, let's party, let's get to all the things I used to do. And there's gluttony, and there is, you know, there might be mixing, there may be all sorts of things going on Eid that is completely contrary to the way you spent the month, right? So yes, Eid is a day of happiness, but it's also a day to please Allah. So what we need to recognize, okay, what we need to recognize that during happy occasions, we increase our worship of Allah, right? So if you think about it, like in weddings, there's an extra khutbah. In Jummah, there's a khutbah. When there's Eid, there's a prayer, an extra prayer. So we need to really change our association to fun. Okay. And, you know, sometimes that has to be done with even healthy eating, right? A lot of times we associate having a fun time with junking out, right? How many times have you thought about, okay, we're going to junk out now. And now we have family together or some movie night or whatever it is. And you associate it to junk, right? And as you become healthy, and this has been a mission of ours, my husband and I, our family, and now on Healthy with Hale and the Muslim Health, Healthy Muslim Women, it's all about changing our association to what is fun and what is healthy, right? And so you can celebrate and still eat healthy things, and that association needs to be changed. And so we need to do that with celebration, with parties, with, you know, that it is still in sync with what pleases Allah. We declare our happiness by doing that which pleases Allah, not doing that which displeases Him. So a whole month of worship, of fasting, of prayer, of, and then you end up, let's say, dressing in a way that it would be displeasing to Allah, acting in a way that would be displeasing. And that just doesn't line up, right? So be conscious of Allah on the day of Eid and show the gratitude, right? And recognize that Eid is a day of obedience. So continuing the prayers, right? Continuing the prayers, the Quran, the Qiyam, that is an indication that your Ramadan is truly, truly accepted. And we see Ramadan as a training program. And Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believed, decreed upon you as fasting as it was decreed upon those before you, that you may become righteous. So ask yourself, okay? Ask yourself, am I more righteous than I was before Ramadan? Am I making a little more effort to hold it together? Am I being a little more pleasant? Am I smiling more? Am I being more helpful? Am I more charitable? Have I done anything to be more righteous? And if the answer is yes, then that's a good sign. And we need to just, you know, we need to continue it. And in Surah Baqarah, ayah 185, Allah says, the Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people, and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the moon, the new moon, the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship. For the sister who said she was sick this whole time, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful. So the verse that is talking about Ramadan, about fasting, about all our, you know, attaining our taqwa, it is associated with gratitude. And you see that through deprivation, you have more appreciation. And we see that every day when we, you know, we break our fast, the amount of appreciation we have, it's incredible. So this is what needs to be happening. We have to have more gratitude. We have to have husna dhan of Allah, think the best of Allah, that He is capable of doing anything. And I know that it seems very heartbreaking what we're seeing around the world with our brothers and sisters in Masjid al-Aqsa, in China, in Burma, in Kashmir. We have so much happening to our ummah, and it is truly heartbreaking, but we have to have husna dhan of Allah. We have to be optimistic, and we have to realize that everything is happening in the perfect manner. It is happening for a reason, and recognize where you're at in your level of iman, and just focus on building that next floor of your iman. And even if you are at that penthouse and you have, you know, built it and you're happy and you're accomplished, know that that takes maintenance, that you can't just leave it and you can't just ignore it for years. It has to have daily maintenance. And I really urge all of us to really open up our hearts and really work on ourselves, not just during the month of Ramadan, but this is a year-long process. And it was really the 2 Ramadans ago when I started my mentorship program, the Mindful Hearts Academy, to help everyone to maintain the rhythm, the momentum, because, you know, I know many of you are sad that it's ending. I know I was sad when, you know, it was the last, the last qiyam, and that feeling of, oh my gosh, it would have been so nice to maintain. And it is critical for us to keep that momentum going, to have a group of like-minded individuals. Remember, I said sometimes you need someone to be pushing you from the back and making you go forward and focus on your goal of the GPS being set to Jannah, and this like-minded sisterhood that we have on the Mindful Hearts Academy, and the program about rebuilding yourself, building that self-esteem, learning the emotional intelligence, all of the things that really helps you to form a beautiful character, right? We look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how impeccable his character was, how beautiful, how he had wisdom in every difficult situation. And sometimes we need to know the how-to. How do we establish that? Because when we just hear, have taqwa, sister, have patience, brother, don't get angry, we need to know the how-to. We need the step-by-step. And that's what I provide on the Mindful Hearts Academy. If, you know, you want to give a gift that keeps on giving for yourself on Eid, gift yourself and invest in yourself. Get a lifetime membership to the Mindful Hearts Academy. If you are watching, you're a brother, for, you know, get a gift that keeps on giving for your sister, for your mother, for your wife, you know, for any female that you know, because this is a gift of transformation. This is a gift of serenity. This is a gift of emotional intelligence. This is a gift of self-esteem. You can't beat that. I don't care what bag, what cute bag you can get with what gifts that are inside. Nothing compares to the gift of, you know, internal peace. Nothing compares to having a feeling of self-worth, because I've known women who were multimillionaires and they wanted to commit suicide. So it's not the what you possess, it is what you feel inside and doing the internal work. So give me the pleasure and the honor of helping you in this mentorship program. We will open registration after Eid, inshallah, but you can put your name on the on the waiting list, and you will be able to be a part of this amazing program. And we are almost there with our goal. We set out to raise, alhamdulillah, $30,000 for the refugees, for the homeless Muslims of Dallas. And mashallah, so many of you have been so generous, and jazakallah khairan. 100% of the, you know, of the donations goes to the needy. And we are at, I believe last time we checked, 27,000. Okay. So a little bit under $3,000, and we will reach this goal, help them to have a beautiful Eid, inshallah. Individuals who, you know, may not be able to do anything for their kids, they will be able to, you know, celebrate it like the rest of us and have a nice meal and have something to look forward to. So I appreciate all your help. I appreciate, you know, you guys coming each and every day. And you know, we are, since we found out that it's 30 days of fasting, where I will have one more tomorrow, inshallah, which will be our final one, correct? All right. And once this thing, nothing compares to the gift of internal peace. It's not what you possess. It's about your internal work. Jazakallah khairan. Yes. So inshallah, I will, I promised that I would announce the winners on the final day. So I thought it would be today, but we got news that Eid is, I believe they said most likely, because it's 30 days, it's going to be on Thursday. So tomorrow, join me again, and we'll have more inspiration, more, you know, just being on the right, you know, on the, having the right mindset for, you know, Ramadan and beyond, right? So we did an amazing job. Alhamdulillah, if you didn't do an amazing job, it's okay. You're going to get more amazing. You're going to build those floors of your build, you know, that the iman that you are building. And the key is to keep progressing forward. So thank you so much. I would like to just end it with some dua. Ya Allah, give us sincerity in all the deeds that we do. Ya Allah, help us to only to work for your sake and for nothing else. Ya Allah, remove any form of nifaq from our hearts. Ya Allah, remove any kind of hatred, animosity, jealousy, envy from our hearts. Ya Allah, help us to purify our hearts. Help us to be an example, a shining light. Ya Rab, Ya Allah, help us to be a source of comfort to others. Ya Allah, let others only see goodness from us, and we only pass on khair. Ya Rab, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, help us to increase our knowledge, increase our good deeds, and to really be on this straight path, and to keep our hearts on the straight path. Ya Mughallib al-Qulub, thabbat qalbana ala deenik. And Ya Allah, help us to have the best ending. Ya Allah, let our last days be our best days. Ya Allah, help us to end with the shahada. And Ya Allah, help us to be the best of example, to beautify our character, and to emulate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, help us in our marriages. Ya Allah, help us to have a peaceful home. Help us to see the best in our spouse. Ya Allah, help us to overcome any difficulties, any obstacles. Ya Allah, don't let us fall into the traps of the shaitan, where he will entice us with enmity in our homes. Ya Allah, help us to fight the shaitan, and help us to build that peaceful home the way that you intended it. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Help us to establish the mawadda and the rahma in our homes. Ya Allah, protect our spouses and give them guidance and give them strength and give them good health. And for those who are searching for a spouse, Ya Allah, grant them righteous spouses. Ya Rab, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect our children and guide them in the straight path. Ya Allah, keep them strong on the straight path. Ya Allah, help them to love the deen. Ya Allah, help us to instill love and excitement for the deen. Ya Allah, remove harshness from our way of parenting. Ya Allah, remove the sense of the ultimatums and the and pushing them away from the deen. Ya Allah, help us to have the rahmah, help us to have the compassion, help us to have the understanding to know how to raise our children with wisdom, with compassion, with love, and help us to raise children who are leaders in their communities, leaders in amongst their friends. Ya Allah, help them to be on the straight path. Ya Rab, all our youth, Ya Allah, those who are struggling with mental health, Ya Allah, guide all our brothers and sisters who are struggling with mental health, Ya Allah, those who have lost hope, Ya Allah, instill hope in them, Ya Allah, those who are anxious and who have obsessive thoughts, Ya Allah, relieve them of this obsession, Ya Allah, help us to help those who are in need, Ya Allah, help us to be more compassionate, Ya Allah, help us to have mercy, Ya Allah, remove the judgment from our hearts, Ya Allah, remove the arrogance, let us not have an ounce of arrogance in our heart, Ya Allah, help us to really work for your cause and not for our own sake, Ya Rab, Ya Allah, help our brothers and sisters throughout the world, Ya Allah, please remove the oppression for the people of the Palestine and in Masjid al-Aqsa. Ya Allah, give them thabat, give them strength, give them the optimism to know that there will be good that will come out of this. Ya Allah, help our brothers and sisters in China, help our brothers and sisters in Kashmir, in India. Ya Rab, cure the people in India. We have so many people who have passed away from this illness. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, remove the illness, remove the pandemic. Ya Allah, please protect all our brothers and sisters and all around the world, Ya Rab, Ya Allah, and help us to be a shining example. Ya Allah, help us to stay steadfast on our deen. Ya Allah, help us to maintain our prayers, maintain our du'as, maintain our reading of the Quran. And Ya Allah, help us to have the beautiful character that is supposed to come from Ramadan and from our worship. Ya Allah, thank you for all the blessings that you have showered us with. And Ya Allah, thank you for even the difficulties, because it is building us. And Ya Allah, thank you for giving us the opportunity to have one more Ramadan. And may we experience many more Ramadans. And Jazakallah khairan. Salaam alaikum. Jazakallah khairan. I appreciate all of you. Alhamdulillah that we have made it to the end of this Ramadan, and inshallah that we stay motivated and that we, you know, we end strong. It's not over yet. You know, a lot of people have stopped coming to the masjid. They have stopped with the ibadah. It's not over. You know, we still have today. We still have tomorrow. So really finish strong, right? I saw this clip of you know, runners, and this runner, she was at the very back, all right? And this was like, it was labeled the best comeback ever. And she was way at the back. And, you know, she could have just said, oh, it's over. That's it. I've lost. But what did she do? She went the strongest at the end. Okay. So she started running. And so she went from being third. She kept coming. And she passed up the second person. She kept going. She didn't give up. And she was running so fast. And then she beat the person in the front and she won the race. Now, we're not competing with anyone. We're competing with ourselves. So don't give up. The race is not over. We got to keep on pushing ourselves. And inshallah, recognize what you have done already. And, inshallah, you know, donate for the cause, the Sadaqa Jariya. There's a link, I'm sure. And also, you know, give the gift of self-esteem, worthiness, emotional intelligence, either to yourself or to a woman that you love, inshallah. And join the Mindful Hearts Academy. Jazakallah khairan and salamu alaikum.